have now the fourth of our Lord's Passion history. Tonight it's entitled, His Trial Before the Jews. This is chapter 25 in the book, The Life and Teachings of Jesus Christ. After saying these things, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden called Gethsemane. He and his disciples went into it. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. Then he began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. Keep praying that you may not enter into temptation." He went forward a little farther from them, about a stone's throw, fell on his face and prayed. He said, "Abba, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Everything is possible for you, yet not my will, but yours be done." When he returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed the same thing. "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from me unless I drink it, may your will be done." Again he returned and found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what they should answer him. He left them again, went away, and prayed a third time. He said the same words as before. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. As he was in agony, he prayed more fervently. His sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Then, when he rose from prayer, he returned the third time to his disciples and found them sleeping as a result of sorrow. He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. Why are you sleeping? Get up. Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." Just then, while Jesus was still speaking, suddenly the man called Judas, one of the 12, arrived. Judas, who was betraying him, knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. With him was a large crowd of soldiers and guards, armed with swords, clubs, lanterns, torches, and weapons. They were from the chief priests, the experts in the law, and the elders of the people. Now, his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." He went right to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Judas, friend, why are you here? Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus, the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus told them. Judas, the betrayer, was standing with them. When Jesus told them, "I am he," they backed away and fell to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus, the Nazarene," they said. "I told you that I am he," Jesus replied. "So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the statement he had spoken, "I did not lose any of those you have given me." Then they advanced, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. When those who were around him saw what was about to happen, they said to him, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, reached out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Stop! No more of this. Put your sword back into its place, because all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you not realize that I could call on my Father and at once he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me?" Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. that same time, Jesus said to the chief priests, the officer of the temple guard, and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out to arrest me with swords and clubs as if I were a robber? Day after day I was with you, sitting in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this is your hour, when darkness rules. All this has happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing just a linen cloth over his naked body. They seized him, but he left behind the linen cloth and fled from the naked. And the company of the soldiers, their commander, and the Jewish guards seized him, bound him, led him away, and brought him first to Annas, because he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, "It is better that one man die for the people." The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews gather. I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he said this, one of the guards standing there hit Jesus in the face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus answered, "testify about what was wrong. But if I was right, why did you hit me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest, where all the chief priests, the experts in the law, and the elders were assembled. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many false witnesses came forward against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Finally, two came forward and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard this fellow say, 'I am able to destroy this temple of God made with hands, and in 3 days I will rebuild another made without hands.'" Yet, even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up, stepped forward, and questioned Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus remained silent and did not answer anything. Then the high priest said to him again, "I place you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said. But I tell you, soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the chief priest tore his robes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? See, you have just heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all answered, "He is deserving of death." Then the men who were holding Jesus in custody spit in his face and punched him. They mocked him while they were beating him. They blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" And they went on saying many other blasphemous things against him. Meanwhile, Simon Peter and another disciple kept following Jesus at a distance. That disciple was known to the high priest, so he went into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. But Peter stood outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and talked to the servant girl of the high priest, watching the door, and brought Peter in. The servants and guards had lit a fire of coals in the middle of the courtyard because it was cold. While they were warming themselves together, Peter was standing there with them, warming himself at the fire to see how it would turn out. While he was in the courtyard, sitting near the light, the girl at the door came to Peter, looking closely at him, and said, "You were also with Jesus the Galilean. You are not one of this man's disciples too, are you?" He denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I am not. I don't know what you're talking about." Simon Peter continued to stand there warming himself. Then, after a little while, he went out to the entryway. A rooster crowed. When Peter went out to the entryway, the servant girl saw him there. Once more, she began to tell those standing there, "This is one of them." Someone else said, "You are one of them." But again, Peter denied it with an oath, saying, "Man, I am not." After about 1 hour had passed, someone else was firmly insisting, "Surely you are one of them, because you are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Then Peter denied it again. He began to curse and to swear, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I do not know the man." Just then, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed for the second time. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. As soon as it was day, the council of the elders of the people met together, both the chief priests and experts in the law. They brought him into the Sanhedrin and said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not understand or answer me or release me. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "You are then the Son of God." He said to them, "I am what you are saying." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." The whole Sanhedrin reached the decision to put Jesus to death. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he felt remorse. He brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? That's your problem." He threw the pieces of silver into the temple and left. Then he went out and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put these into the treasury, since it is blood money." They reached a decision to buy the potter's field with the money as a burial place for foreigners. So that field has become and called now the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price the sons of Israel had set for him, and they gave them for the potter's field, just as the Lord commanded me. We'll respond with the words in the bulletin. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Our next hymn again is from the bulletin. I'm sorry, read the bulletin, it's from the blue hymnal.